Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room. Ryan Green, Rob Misch here, the midweek edition. Talking about UNLV Hawaii from last weekend a little bit, cleaning up some loose ends. And also talking UNLV Wyoming coming up this weekend, the 2-1 Rebels heading up to Laramie to take on a struggling... Oh, you got something.
Cowboys.
The struggling Cowboys.
Yes.
They've got weak horses right now.
Snake in the grass, though. Better not take anybody for granted.
No, definitely can't. And UNLV can't afford to, and we will tell you why here in just a second. Again, Ryan Green and Rob Misch. We are going to be joined about a few minutes into the podcast by Eric Schmolt, who is the Cowboys beat writer from the Casper Star Tribune up in Wyoming. He covers Cowboys football and hoops. A good source of knowledge preparing you for the opponent. You'll be able to hear that a few minutes in here. But first, me and Rob... going to talk about just kind of tying up some loose ends from that UNLV Hawaii game. And I think one to obviously point out is they didn't come away very healthy from this one.
Yeah, let's detail that a bit. What have you found in practice the past couple days?
Well, Rodelyn Anthony, senior receiver, who's their third leading receiver so far this season, only had one catch for 5 yards against Hawaii, but took a huge blindsided hit on kick coverage late in the game. He is out this weekend with a concussion, may not even make the trip. Second concussion in 6 weeks for him, so the rest of the season could be a little iffy. Also, Markell Martin, who started at safety last week, played pretty well. He's going to probably be out with a concussion, too.
Jeez.
Two late developing things. Philip Payne, UNLV's second leading receiver, who was a star last week. And then backup quarterback Mike Clausen, both coming down with cases of the flu, did not practice Tuesday. Their status is kind of unknown, and that's interesting because if you don't have Mike Clausen and something happens to Omar Clayton, you are up a creek.
Who would be next up in that scenario?
Well, that's where you really got to think about it. It's either Les Obi, the walk-on transfer, who takes most of the third-team snaps, or Caleb Herring, who is the freshman from Paris, California, who they're redshirting, who is the quarterback of the future, but... you know, physically, you don't know if he's ready yet. You don't know if they're going to burn the red shirt. I would not think they would. So it could get a little hairy. Maybe that's why the line's moved from 5.5 to 4 points already.
It sounds like there could be some doubt on both sides of the sidelines because Wyoming is starting a true freshman, Austin Carter Samuels, 6'2", 210, true freshman from the San Jose area. If there's anybody who knows the psychological aspect of the game, it is him because he is majoring in psychology, or he plans to.
Well, this is an interesting move by the Cowboys because, you know, your first-year coach Dave Christensen, you know, this is a guy who was the mastermind behind the prolific Missouri offense the last few years as the offensive coordinator with guys like Chase Daniel, Jeremy Maclin, all those guys. He goes to Wyoming, and he's implementing this spread offense with very limited weaponry. And, you know, basically now is handing the reins over to the true freshman and basically giving him the keys to the Corvette. You know, I guess it's a Corvette with a couple bad parts right now. Right. But, you know, they're gonna go with this kid, try to take his mind off of looking over his shoulder and see what he's got. He was 11 of 25 last week. But, you know, don't read too much into that. You'll hear Eric talk about that in a little bit. But
you want to cut to Eric?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, let's cut right to Wyoming while we're on the subject.
Yeah, let's go. This is Eric Schmolt from the Casper Star Tribune up in Wyoming. And here's what he has to say about this week's game. All right, Eric, well, we're going to talk some UNLV Wyoming football getting set to take place this Saturday up in Laramie. You know, not a lot of people here know much about the Cowboys other than their schedule and who they've played. 1-2 coming in, but, you know, a little bit of an offensive drought, haven't scored an offensive touchdown in 9 quarters. But, again, against most of it was against 2 Big 12 opponents. You know, how much has what the Cowboys have faced the last 2 weeks really prepared them for conference play starting here this week?
I think it's probably prepared them pretty well, although, you know, I think that everybody thought last week would be a real true test for them because Colorado was a Big 12 team, but they've been sliding for the first 2 weeks and they went off 2 pretty bad losses, so everybody kind of thought maybe that would be a real test for them, and they didn't really pass that at all. The offense couldn't move the ball, didn't put up any points, so... But the defense, you know, has looked pretty good against 2 Big 12 opponents. They looked real good against Texas for an entire half. You know, now that conference play has started, we'll kind of get to see, you know, a little bit more of exactly who they are. And they'll go to 4 freshmen on offense now, true freshmen. They had been playing 1. are starting one. Now they'll start four, and we'll see. We'll get a good feel for how those youngsters are going to kind of just get thrown right into the mix.
Well, diving a little deeper, you mentioned the defense playing pretty well, which has been pretty noticeable the last few weeks. And obviously a lot of people remember the defense putting up a really good fight going into Tennessee and winning last year. Names to look for on defense and, you know, just I guess in general, what makes this defense so stout?
Sure. I mean, I think a lot of it is just a lot of players back from last year. They have all new coaches except for their defensive coordinator. So Marty Fletcher's back, and he's the new D coordinator. He was the linebackers coach last year. Well, they haven't changed a whole lot. Some of the names to look for, you're mostly probably going to remember from before. Up front, they've got John Fletcher, a defensive tackle. He's really probably one of the most underrated linemen in the country. And at the other side, they've got Mitch Unrein, who really puts a lot of pressure and helps John Fletcher get some of the numbers that he gets. In the middle at linebacker, you're going to look for Weston Johnson. He's kind of the senior leader in the middle there at linebacker. He's got two interceptions already this year. Didn't come in with any, so he's off to a pretty hot start. And then the cornerbacks, Marcel and Tashawn Gibson, the brothers out there, have been playing real well, getting compliments from everybody inside this program and from opposing teams. They have a freshman safety, Shamil Gary, who had three interceptions in the opener, and he led in tackles last week. I think he's got 30 tackles on the season. And the other safety, Chris Brzezinski, started from last year back as a junior. He's real solid back there. So their secondary, really good. Their front three, really solid. And I mean, the linebackers are kind of working into it. A couple newcomers there. Brian Hendricks has been really up there in the tackle charts. So they've just got a lot of guys who are back who know this system really well, which is opposite from the offensive side of the ball.
All right, well, yeah, let's talk about that offense because everyone knows about the drought. And you mentioned the true freshman, Austin Carter Samuels, is going to start this week. His numbers looked okay, looked like he held his own against Colorado, but now he's going to be basically handed the reins to Dave Christensen's offense. You know, I guess why has this offense struggled, and are there signs that things are going to get better with Carter Samuels having full control now?
Sure. I think the biggest sign and the biggest thing they're hoping for in giving him the reins is just having one person at quarterback. You know, they've gone with Robert Benjamin and Austin Carter Samuels in kind of a rotation in the first couple of weeks, and they just kind of want some continuity at that position. I don't know that you know, Austin Carter Samuels has played, you know, head and shoulders above Benjamin so far this year, but he has played better than him, so they're just going to try to give it to one person and hope that continuity gets them going, you know, earlier in the game. Their real struggles have just kind of come in a new system and kind of shifting players around on the depth chart and just trying to find the right combinations to kind of run what Dave Christensen wants to run here. And I think as that kind of settles in a little more, they'll get it going. But like you said, they have struggled. They haven't scored in almost 10 quarters, at least an offensive touchdown. So we'll see if that picks up with Austin kind of in there as the guy now.
All right. Well, obviously, they're running a spread offense, and a lot of people assume they're doing so without a lot of the weapons you need. I guess talk about where Dave Christensen's focus has been in terms of recruiting, what his first class there looked like, and where you see things heading for this program, you know, down the road.
Sure. The recruiting class, they brought in a lot of guys who are athletes, guys who can play maybe a couple different positions, or they did in high school, and maybe, you know, they come out on those recruiting websites as athletes. Carter Samuels, a guy who can pass and run. They've got Elvester Alexander, who's number one on the depth chart at running back this week, and he's a guy who can create some big plays, had a 45-yard touchdown run on his first career carry. They'll have Chris McNeil in there, who's a receiver. He's now moved up to number one. He was out of that class, and he's just a fast, smaller guy who runs really good routes. And, you know, some of the guys on defense, Shamil Gary I mentioned before, and they've got a linebacker, Ghali Muhammad, just guys that are kind of fast, the guys you expect out of a system on both sides of the ball that just wants to be speed heavy.
Okay. Well, before we let you go, we got to get a prediction out of you. What do you expect to see from this Wyoming offense this week, with this weekend specifically, and what do you predict as far as an outcome?
Sure. I would say I'd say, you know, the offense finally gets on track, I guess, for a little bit at least for Wyoming. I think we'll finally see them score another offensive touchdown and have a little more continuity there. But I think when it comes down to it, the more experienced, they'll have a similar offense, and then they just have more experience there. And I think experience will probably win out in this case. I see the Rebels getting a road win, maybe a touchdown or 10 points probably.
Okay. Well, again, that is Eric Schmaltz from the Casper Tribune. Thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
All right. Thanks, we'll see you this weekend.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you up here.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Well, there you have it. We talked about UNLV. This isn't a gimme for a lot of reasons, and 19 of them, really.
Woo!
19 consecutive conference road losses. They have not won a road conference game under Mike Sanford, 0-16. They lost the final three under John Robinson.
And they last won on the road at BYU in 2004, 24-20. They were a 10-point dog. If you had them on the money line, you're barking all the way to the bank.
Well, BYU was still kind of on their climb back up at that point. What do you think? I mean, it seems like these guys, it seems like they've got some of that confidence back after beating Hawaii in the last second. And, they needed it after the way they lost to Oregon State. Seems like this team is going into this game with the mentality that they should win, and that they're not taking them for granted. They claim they learned their lesson last year at San Diego State, a game they should have won.
Well,
late in the season, and right. Do you buy the hype?
You know what? It's just what kind of mindset are they going to take up there? Because a record like they're facing of futility can do nothing but keep you humble and respect anybody you're playing. I don't care if it's Princeton or Georgetown Prep or whoever it is. It could be a high school team. You know, when you have lost 19 in the road in your conference, you can't afford to take anybody lightly. And I don't care who's starting at quarterback, but, they better be sharp and they better be smart. Under Sanford alone, they are 2-21 overall on the road. And for you wise guys in Vegas, that would be 6-15-2 against the spread. So those are some big numbers to combat. And you know what? That's going to keep you on your toes, and it's sure better. So it's going to be – we're going to find out a lot about this UNLV team this weekend. We think we've seen some patterns develop, or we think we've seen what the team is about the previous 3 weeks, but you find out about a team when it goes on the road.
Yeah, and it's going to be very important for UNLV to start this game off strong, right from go. They got to be strong. They got to put the foot on the throat right away, because this is a team that in Wyoming that has not scored an offensive touchdown in 9 quarters.
They looked pretty good in that first half against Texas, and since then it's been they've been devastated the last 6 quarters.
And you heard Eric talk about it, how while the offense has struggled, the defense kept them in that game against Texas for a half. The defense kept it a game for a while against Colorado, but the offense just hasn't found its feet. He thinks they'll score a touchdown or two against UNLV, and, I mean, UNLV's defense has been patchy, so, I mean, I think predicting a shutout would be probably pretty unfair. But at the same time, this is a team that's on the ropes, and UNLV has a great chance to, go for the Manny Pacquiao out here.
Right. So what's Clayton been like the last day or two in practice? What's he saying, and how is his health?
Boy, and you can read it today on the site. Very interesting. I asked him about that late game situation against Hawaii. He seems like he's back to 100% with the knee. Mm-hmm. Still has the sleeve on it, but he seems all right. And the one thing he talked about was, he said during the last 5 minutes of that game, when I knew I had to take the team downfield, had to get a touchdown or else, he said I was more calm during those 5 minutes than I was at any other point in the game. And he kind of talked to why. And if you read on the site today, the story, this guy has a history of having to play in close game situations.
Yeah.
But he has the confidence of knowing the offense. The game looks slowed down to him at this point. But he has a relationship with the offensive coordinator, Todd Berry, who calls all the plays, that goes back to their days in Normal, Illinois, when Todd was coaching at Illinois State and Omar was playing high school ball there. This is a guy who brought him in as a walk-on. He went from fifth string walk-on to starting scholarship quarterback. And, it's almost now when they get in these situations, Todd's up in the press box, almost like holding an Xbox controller. Just kind of, he knows he can get done what he wants to get done, and Omar said the faith is mutual.
That can't be discounted either, because Hawaii coach McMacken highlighted Coach Berry and his his arsenal of offensive plays and schemes. And you have more on that too, don't you?
Yeah, Todd Barry. I think it's only a matter of time before this guy has another head coaching shot. It just seems like it. It seems right. His offense works, and he's got the pieces to do it, and they're confident. They don't waver late in games, and you know, even with Mike Clawson in, when they needed two late touchdowns against Oregon State, they look confident.
Yeah,
you know, Todd Barry doesn't control the defense, right. You know, but he takes care of his job. There's no question about that.
We would be very remiss not to talk about Ryan Wolf at this point, because that guy is looking like he is going to help out anywhere. If the plumbing in the dressing room needs attention, he's going to whip out his toolbox. It seems like this guy's going to do everything and can do everything. He was everywhere on the field Saturday.
Yeah, he was, and came in as a defensive back in the last play of the game, went back there and swatted down Hawaii's last-second desperation. This guy has 23 catches. He's catching a lot of balls here early in the year, and kind of flown under the radar because he hasn't scored a touchdown yet. You know, Phillip Payne's made the headlines there, but just being Mr. Dependable.
And he was on he was doing some return coverage too.
Yep.
And man, he's looking like he's an indispensable part of this team. Obviously, like we knew with the offense, but now everywhere.
Very much so. You know, UNLV uses a lot of starters on kick coverage and uses a lot of first string guys, and that can have its pitfalls, as you saw with Rattle and Anthony getting his bell rung. But it also gets experienced guys out there who value the importance of special teams.
He's obviously a veteran. Has he said anything about what this road game means and kind of the futility of UNLV's past on the road?
It seems like they're just not thinking about it right
now.
Him and Beauchamp talked about it both. They're just not thinking about it right now. They kind of talk about how it's just not worth it to them. And it is a very different team. And if you read Jason's blog, Now or Never, he talked this week about about the maturity of this team compared to his first 3 years here, and how he said, you know, now when our leaders are just more mature. He said, you know, guys like myself and Ryan Wolf and Omar Clayton know that if we screw around, miss a meeting, say something disrespectful to a coach, younger guys are going to pick up on that, and it's going to trickle down. But if they're being the model leaders, guys pay attention, and it's been pretty obvious so far. And they know this is a business trip. It's not, I mean, not that there's a whole ton of fun to be had in Laramie, Wyoming, but, yeah, they got their heads on. So let's get to it. Do you buy the hype? What are you predicting?
Before that, we have to cut to probably the most important part.
Okay.
Your favorite Clint Eastwood quote. I got mine. You think about yours. You hang a man, you better make sure he's dead. How about
that? What's that from?
I believe it's from Hang 'Em High.
Okay. Is it going to be wrong if I can't have a Clint Eastwood quote off the top of my head?
No, but it's really appropriate because I actually have two, so I can fill in for you.
Let's go.
Oh, I forget. Doggone it, I forget the name.
I know he had some good ones in Gran Torino, which I just saw, too.
Yes.
I just don't remember him.
Well, it was from, the one from Sandra Bullock. It was Phoenix. The name is escaping me. But this really dogged-looking woman is asking him about something. Somebody else asks him about, boy, that was an ugly woman. And he goes, he said something like, on a scale of 1 to 10, she's a 2. And that's only because I never seen a 1. On to the predictions. You go.
Go for it. I'm going to take UNLV. I'll say 35-24. Plain and simple. What do you got?
Wow. I really haven't been digesting it. It's there's so many X factors in this one. I'm going to go 2013 UNLV.
Okay. Either way, a road win's a road win, and they'll be glad to have it at this point.
Yeah, I think Wyoming's offensive woes are going to continue, and I see UNLV kind of getting a stride at a very good time against a very good foe.
Yeah.
And staying within themselves.
And then it gets really interesting next week against Reno.
Yes.
And that's going to be a whole other chapter, but we will get to that next week. For Rob Misch, this is Ryan Green. We want to thank Eric Schmolt from the Casper Star Tribune again. And we'll talk to you this weekend, whistling and all.